With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Howdy, third hour on the show. What's happening? No TV today, so if you're cruising home saying, let me get my two bald buddies on the tube, not going to happen. No TV today. Back tomorrow, Sharp Tierney makes his appearance, the usual Football Friday. And right now, we're just rolling on the radio, and we're doing so from our studios. And, of course, all the apps, radio.com, etc. The Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. Week three tonight. Minshew Mania, Minshew Magic, however you want to frame it. Minshew's proving more and more viable by the week. We will discuss, you know, we kind of got a little bit of this with Brady Quinn, but we will get a chance to really expand on whether or not we really believe that Gardner Minshew can be or is in the process of becoming a true franchise quarterback. Looking forward to that. Really looking forward to Monday night, which, by the way, 50 years old. Monday night football. Dun, 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 dun.
I know, right? It's like you get juiced for it. Absolutely, you do. Monday Night Football was just, I mean, I remember watching it when I was a kid, and like, it was the stage, and I couldn't, not that I was thinking about being only being a football player, because I obviously, you guys know, I wanted to be an astronaut and some other things, but once you get to college and you start to become, you know, a decent enough player where you think you're going to play in the NFL. This was before Thursday Night Football. It was before, like, football felt like it was every night. And it's not, obviously, but it just felt like there's a lot of football with, you know, Thursday night, then Sunday, and then Sunday night, and then now, and then Monday night. It now feels like it's saturated a little bit. But back then, in the late 90s, Monday Night Football was, like, the thing, man. It was it. It's what you looked forward to. When you became a player in the National Football League, was, can I get on Monday night and ball out and have that day? Because, you know, like, there is no distraction on Sundays when you're playing. Yeah, someone could be watching, you know, this game. Someone could be watching another game. They could be playing with the kids. Whatever. It's Sunday afternoon. Some people could be in church. You know, if you're in the West Coast, get 1 o'clock game. These people are in church. You know, so it's like, maybe you skip church, but it's probably other things that are going
depends
on.
Depends,
right?
Who the Niners are playing.
That's right. But Monday Night Football,
or Raiders.
Work is over, right? Everybody is sitting on their couch, and they're watching this experiment that started for me at the time, you know, 20 years prior. And I just, you just wanted to excel on Monday Night Football. I remember the greatest run in football history, at least up until that point.
Oh, I know.
With the Dallas Cowboys and 99. Tony Dorsett going 99 yards as a running back. That's all I ever wanted to do. I always wanted to be backed up on the 1 yard line and have an opportunity. Anytime it happened in my career, I'm always like plotting, how do I get 99? Like, how do I get a 99 yard touchdown? I had a 95 yarder, but not a 99 yarder. And that happened on Monday Night Football. And it's legendary because everybody was watching it. In fact, in 1999, we played the Dallas Cowboys on Monday Night Football, and I'll never forget this game. We were sub 500 at the time. We were 2-3. We're playing the Cowboys, and in 99 I hadn't become the man yet. I was just like a third down back and a punt returner, and, you know, trying to, you know, find my way still. And I returned a punt 85 yards for a touchdown in that game. And I'll never forget it.
I don't remember that.
I made a guy miss at the beginning, and I scooted to the sideline. Uh-huh. And I'll find the highlight, and I'll post it for you. But like,
of course you were.
I wasn't smooth as a runner. You know what I mean? Yeah. Uh-huh. And so, like, I didn't look like I felt comfortable running, and I'm like trying to like will myself forward by ducking my head to like run away from the defender, and I scored a touchdown in it.
Hold on a second, let me see if this will work.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have a ton of carries. I only had 10 carries for 35 yards, but I had 5 receptions for 73 yards, including a 56 yarder at the end of the game, which Deion Sanders caught me on like the 4-yard line, but it was enough to get us in field goal position, and we kicked the winning field goal. You'll remember the game, BT, because after we kicked that winning field goal, Brad Deluiso kicked off to Deion, and Deion returned it. He lateraled it forward, and they scored a touchdown, but it got called back because Deion lateraled it forward. And that Brad Deluiso tore his ACL all in the same play.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a crazy game. But, I mean, it was prime time. It was Monday night. I think I got, like, some prime time player of the week or whatever it was for that game. But it was Monday Night Football was awesome. And I only played on it a couple of times. I think that might have been the only time I played on Monday Night Football.
No, you had to play on Monday Night Football more than once.
Honestly, I don't remember playing on Monday Night Football.
Well, that doesn't mean that you didn't. Santer, look it up. There's no way you played once on Monday night. The Giants?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
I'm telling
you.
We weren't.
Stop.
I gotta think about it. But
I'm calling that you're wrong. I'm going over it. My over-under is 2.5.
Okay,
all right.
Go ahead.
Let me see if this is going to work. Hang on. Catches at the 15. Wow.
That was great. It was a great moment. I think you know, that game, you know, kind of, it propelled us a little bit that season. That season didn't turn out fantastic. I forgot what we finished the record as. I think we were 9-7-9. We were below 500. But the next season, because now we started to feel ourselves a little bit. Mm-hmm. That's the year we went to the Super Bowl. So it was Monday Night Football can be a catalyst, and it can be identifiable for how the season's going to go because everybody is watching, and that's what we're going to have this Monday with these two unbelievable quarterbacks, the two, you know, most recent MVPs in Lamar Jackson and Pat Mahomes. And there's a lot to prove here, man.
There's a lot to prove for Lamar. I don't know if Mahomes has anything to prove. What does Mahomes have to prove?
So Mahomes is interesting to me, BT, because like the first two games of this season, he's been good, right? Mm-hmm. He led a comeback against the Chargers, but it almost felt, and I don't want to say it because I don't necessarily believe that it's true. You can chalk it up to a rough offseason or just not having gotten any reps, but it's felt like the Kansas City Chiefs have a vulnerability to them, or like people are starting to figure out how to play them closer. You know what I mean? And you limit what they do offensively. You keep them out of those huge plays, like those 20 or 30 yard gashers, then it just feels like there's just not that much that they can do otherwise, you know, offensively. Now that's probably not true. It's probably just them getting into their mix. I think that after signing a $500 million deal, Pat Mahomes definitely has some pressure on him to, you know, be the guy that everybody expects him to be.
But not for this Monday. I'll tell you, because, you know, Lamar Jackson, MVP, but he's had bad playoff games. And eventually he's going to get past that. But, you know, I don't even really look at it as an incredibly pressure-packed moment for him. I look at it as very interesting, maybe somewhat revealing about what's around both of these players. You know, every year is a little different. So you lose a guy, a free agency, you gain a guy, free agency, guy gets hurt, whatever it might be. By the way, Santer just found this. So
yeah,
I did, Tiki's,
that's not. Don't even say it because I don't. That's not, I know that's not right.
So. Okay, but it's not like it's. It, yeah, yeah, it's on Pro Football Reference. It said that Tiki played 12 times.
There's no way I played.
That sounds a little bit high.
I did not play 12 times on Monday Night.
You didn't even
football.
Play 12 seasons.
Exactly. So I know I didn't play Monday Night.
No,
football
I hear
every season and then some seasons twice a year. There's no chance.
No, I agree with that. Maybe it's total prime time, including Sunday and Thursday. Who knows? Whatever.
Yeah.
I know we're gonna get back to Mahomes and Lamar in a moment, but it is. I wanted to throw this in, and I like how you took us on that little Monday Night Football ride. People forget, you know, so the Jets and the Browns, they play the first one 50 years ago,
yep.
And just imagine a world now where you've got the announcers sitting up there smoking cigars and or cigarettes, rifling heaters, right?
No doubt about it.
Drinking whiskey. Drinking.
Smoke if you got them.
They're drunk. Drinking.
The guys are on the sideline smoking cigarettes.
That's right. Drinking in the booth. What I always loved about Monday Night Football, the music just brings you in. It's almost like the opening theme to Star Wars.
Yeah. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun. Like, there's just some things that grip you, and that theme grips you. The value, the production value was always so tight. Like, the two helmets are, like, tied down, and then they spring loose, and they smash into each other like two planets colliding, and they just get blown into smithereens, and then you hear, dun, 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 dun. But the other thing it did, Teak, and this, I bet you a lot of people don't even realize, especially if you're really young, the other thing about Monday Night Football was your bridge and really your only liaison to what went down on Sunday.
Yeah,
you during halftime of Monday Night Football, you would get the results, you'd get the results of the paper or the radio back then, but in terms of actually seeing out-of-town highlights, you want to watch O.J. Simpson and you're a Niners fan, or you're a Miami Dolphins fan, he didn't get the game, oh, look, Howard Cosell's going to roll in some O.J. I mean, that's the Terry Brown, there it is, look, there's Terry. Crazy that was the way that fans all those years ago had to consume the NFL.
Yeah, that's
isn't
right.
That crazy?
No, it is crazy. And, you know, it's I think it's always been like this special like piece of football because it was it felt different. It just like we know what football was, but Monday night just felt different as a consumer, but also as a player. And you put the best matchups, at least you used to put the best matchup that you could think of on Monday Night Football, because you know everybody's watching. Like, from the NFL standpoint, it's a ratings boon, right? You know people are going to be, you know, is tuning in, because what else are they doing? It's Monday,
mm-hmm.
right? It's the miserable day of the week. It's like, oh, we got four more days left of the week. As you mentioned, it's the bridge, right? It's,
yep.
It's the bridge to the weekend. The water cooler talk, for at least for sports fans, it carries you for a couple days after Monday Night Football, especially if it's a team that's, you know, it's important or that you care about. So yeah, Monday Night Football has always been something special, and I had a special day. I don't know how many times I ultimately played on Monday Night Football, but I know I had one special day on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, Santa's circling the 12. He's really trying to hammer this one home. The answer is probably somewhere in between, but Pro Football Reference is rarely wrong. Whatever, we'll get the answer. Let's hear from Lamar. So he's got the Monday night stage, but obviously no fans. Does that change things? Here is the defending MVP. You know, the other thing too, Teak, when Monday's the bridge and the liaison to take you back to Sunday, as it was for so many years,
yeah.
I'm not trying to equate it. There's no equivalence outside of that. It's during a day of the week here, and there's a football game. But in some ways, that's like what Thursday does, only it's inverted. Thursday's the bridge to push you forward into the next week, whereas back in the day, Monday would connect you to what already went down, you know? But Thursday, you know, Thursday just creeps up on you, and I really am excited about tonight. And Teak and I are going to get thoroughly into Minshew next segment, just how viable he is. Is he really a franchise quarterback, or at least trending in that direction? Like, is he already there? I mean, we'll have that discussion. But Monday night, it's just a different energy, man. It's really, if you think about this, it's outside of a playoff game. It's the most, I want to see if I'm missing anything. It's the most, or a major for golf, or a big race, or tennis, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, big regular season event for a team sport. It's by far the grandest event for a regular season of any sport.
Yeah, no, I think.
Not even close.
I think you're definitely right. It's an opportunity, because it lets you either arrive or disappoint. And that's why this game between Lamar Jackson and Pat Mahomes is so compelling so early in the season. We know that, you know, as a Super Bowl champion, Pat Mahomes has arrived. He has been paid. He's the it. He's the face of the league in so many ways. And it's what the NFL needs. And Lamar Jackson, who is different because, I mean, I don't know if he'll ever become the face of the NFL, but he is.
Why not?
Because of his style, right? Because of how he plays and, you know, how he, I don't know. He's just a different type of player. He doesn't fit the mold of a quarterback.
Well, Mike Vick was the face for a year or two.
Yeah.
He was going in that direction.
Yeah. I don't know if I ever saw Michael Vick as the
face. He was on Madden. You know, I mean, that stuff counts.
He was on the cover and stuff like that.
That matters.
But I see Lamar Jackson more as the, like, he's the evolver of the National Football League. It's evolving. And Brady Quinn was talking about this, you know, for a bit that, you know, the game is changing because these guys are so athletic and they can use their running abilities. And it's not just about, you know, how can you be a great pocket passer? It's can you be dynamic? You know what I mean? You know, but for me, Lamar Jackson is more he's evolving the game. He's showing the league that you can be successful and not have to be, you know, drop back 30 times a game, 35 times a game, and complete 70% of your passes in order to be successful and, more importantly, to win an MVP. I mean, when was the last time that someone who, in a quarterback, you have to go back to, you know, when the game was different, like in the 70s, 60s and 70s, when they threw the ball, you know, 15 times a game to find a guy, you know, that was not as proficient as a passer that was an MVP.
But so, I think he's getting there, man. It doesn't look as smooth as Rodgers. I grant
never,
you that,
I don't think it ever will.
I agree. It doesn't look like it's a fully polished throw. It's the end stage.
It's like it's improvisational all the time.
But Teague, the guy throws a pretty damn good ball,
yeah,
man.
He does.
The numbers support that. The eyes support that. Lamar Jackson throws a good ball, like he threw a good ball at Louisville. He throws a good ball in the NFL. Very good ball.
Yeah.
He does.
It's true.
It's not Mahomes. I get it. He's good, man. Monday's going to be a lot of fun. So hopefully tonight's going to be some fun as well. I know there's still some detractors out there. It's too small. The mustache is just a little phase. Jaguars, come on. They got a little lucky. They got to win. Well, you know what? I think it's a little more than that. I think Gardner Minshew is absolutely a player, and I might be prepared to say that he's a franchise quarterback. We're going to have that discussion coming up next. Look forward to that. Maybe even squeeze in a little Tua if we possibly see him for a little bit tonight. Probably not, but we'll incorporate that a little bit. We'll talk about the game tonight. And Minshew moving forward. Next, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, last week's in the books. Now it's time to review the tape and get ready for this week. Week 3 begins tonight. There's no better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. Now, to add to this week's excitement, DraftKings has a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs. If you haven't tried DraftKings yet, what are you waiting for? They're just handing money out. I told you about my buddy Keith, big Giants fan, big Mets guy. Won $17,000 about 5 months ago. And he still didn't buy a beer on the golf course the other day. Come on, reach into your pocket, Serge. He won. You can win as well. Just download the app. Easy, functional, aesthetically pleasing, easy to navigate. It's awesome. And when you do that, just use code Tierney, and every pass, every catch, every run is going to mean a little bit more with DraftKings. So pick your lineup, all right? You got to pick some guys. Stay under the salary cap. You got to negotiate that. And then see how your team stacks up against the competition. That simple. DraftKings has paid out billions of dollars to winners since 2012. Been around a minute, 2012. So they know a couple of things about cold, hard cash. Download the DraftKings app now. Use code Tierney. That's T-I-E-R-N-E-Y. For a limited time, new users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. That's code Tierney. You know, Sharp Tierney's going to send you in the right direction. Who are we kidding? Code Tierney, T-I-E-R-N-E-Y, only at DraftKings. That's DraftKings and code Tierney. Making it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. DraftKings.com. Get it? Yeah. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free lines, 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Right now, Geico offers an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So, What are you waiting for? Visit Geico.com to learn more. All right, let's get into Minshew. Now, I'm so intrigued by this. A lot of people are intrigued by Minshew, but I got to be honest. You know, I have been saying, even last year when he was just pretty much dismissed, I never said he was going to be a star. I'm certainly not going to say that. But I said that I saw things in this kid, and the one thing that I leaned on a lot was when the pocket broke down, not that he was running around necessarily like Lamar Jackson or sprinting, you know, 40 yards like Vic back, whatever it might be, or even Josh Allen now, but he is very poised when things are going in a very frenetic pace and breaking down around them. Like he stays in a phone booth and still changes arm slots and makes plays, tight red zone, you know, two-point conversions. I really like the guy.
Yeah.
And it's obvious, Teague, that his teammates like him. Listen, I understand he's not 6'5", you know, not a strapping quarterback like Josh Allen, whatever it might be. Wasn't a first-round pick, barely got drafted. There is nobody that has watched Gardner Minshew, I mean really watched him so far in his career, that can say that he doesn't have a chance to be a franchise quarterback, because he does.
Well, I mean, here's what benefits him, I think. And sometimes you don't think of it like this, but he was a 23-year-old rookie. He's 24 now. So as a rookie, he came in because we know his college situation where he transferred and then you know, went to Washington State as a graduate transfer. He basically wanted to be a coach. And so you knew where his mindset was. And it's probably one of the reasons that Jacksonville drafted him, even though you didn't know what his upside was going to be. But you draft a smart guy like that late because he had unbelievable success at Washington State. He led the country in passing. But two, you know, he was a smart kid. And so when you draft a kid late, you know he's got talent. You know he's done it on, you know, on a college level. There's some value there, even if it's just to be the clipboard holder. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so ultimately, he gets his chance to start, and that's where the unexpected came in. All of a sudden, you know, yes, he got sacked a lot. Their offensive line was atrocious. He had 33 sacks last year, BT, and I don't think he played the entire
season. No, he did. Nick Foles started.
Yeah, so he played, 12 games, started 14 games? So he didn't play it like the whole season. He got sacked 33 times. That's that's on pace for, I don't know, 40 sacks, which is abysmal. Yet he didn't throw a ton of interceptions. So he wasn't making bad decisions with all of that pressure that was around him. And to be honest, any player who can do that and not lose the game for you is worth taking an extra look at. Mm-hmm. Then you throw in that extra...
Good point, by the way, Teague. Very good point.
Right, you throw in that extra, I don't know, I don't want to call it the it, because I don't know if he has that yet, but you throw in that extra upside that just seems like he's got this little magic to him, you know what I mean?
Yep.
That allows him to find ways to keep you in and win football games. And now they're 1-1 on the season, and nobody thought that they were going to play with the Chargers and the Colts in week one, yet there he was, you know, winning that game. Tennessee, nobody thought that they had a chance against Tennessee, yet there they are, only losing by a field goal. The Gardner Minshew has something about him that's you can't pinpoint it, but there's a winner in him that I think is awesome for this Jacksonville team that is in a rebuild in some ways.
Well, think about what how the Bills' offense has looked so far, right? We're like, man, the Bills' offense is really humming this year, and you got Stephon Diggs and Allen's, you know, throwing for four Bills and running. They've scored 58 points in two games. The Jags have scored 57.
Yeah.
Now, the Jags aren't going to get the love because the Bills are a playoff team from a year ago. We both picked them. Did you pick the Bills to win the division?
Yes.
Okay, I thought we both did. We both picked them to win the division. There's expectations, primetime games, blah, blah, blah. But they're scoring some points. I think that you look around the NFL, it's changed a little bit. Now, if Gardner Minshew was playing in 2002, or even forget about before that, he wouldn't even get a chance, really.
Yeah, that's right.
Even early 2010s, he's not – he would be perceived very differently. There is an influence collegiately now that you and I talk about all the time that's infiltrated the pro game. Mm-hmm. So the concepts are now transferable, and NFL teams are embracing that. So a guy like Minshew, who's obviously smart, can adapt to that quickly. But think about the guys with great arm talent from back in the day. Jeff George, Vinny Testaverde, mistake-prone, but big strapping guys that could fire it. Jay Cutler never really became what we thought he would, but yet he kept getting chance. And he was fine for a couple of years. He was good, but we thought he was going to be a star eventually because he had a great arm talent. You know, Brock Osweiler, big strapping guy. Yeah, maybe we can squeeze this out of Brock. No, but the little guy never gets a real second look. I mean, really, the only guy that got a look was Doug Flutie, and Doug Flutie had to go to Canada to become
right.
the star that he became.
But he hung around for a long
time.
No,
I know he did. The Bears and the Bills, yeah. I know. But he
never was to be like the man.
No. The Bills, because he had Flutie flakes up in Buffalo.
That's right.
And I could still see him running that touchdown in on the left side. He ran one in against my Jets there up in Buffalo. But he had to go up to Canada to become a professional football legend. That didn't happen in the NFL, as you know.
No, definitely not.
So there's just an energy, there's a leadership, and then there's, you know, the things that we can't quantify, scores points, protects the ball, and yet it feels like, man, if I'm going to huddle with this guy, I'm ready to ball. Let's go, Gardner. Yeah. I like this guy.
Yeah, I do too. Now, I'm going to hold out and saying he's going to be their franchise quarterback, and they have an interesting, I guess you can call it a dilemma, depending on how the season goes. Like, I don't know what their ultimate record is going to be because I'm confused about them. I'm confused about the team. You know what I mean? Like,
me too.
What are they going to be this season? And are they going to continue to press teams and, you know, maybe steal like 7 or 8 games this year? And if they do, then that kind of knocks them out of that, you know, number one overall pick for either Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields, maybe even the top, you know, 5. Maybe they push themselves outside of the top 5 or 10.
Yeah, but you could still get one of the two guys because not every team drafted in the top 5 would need a quarterback.
That's a good point. Very good point. That's a very good point. But even if you do, if he's as good as he seems like he can be,
uh-huh.
not that he has a cannon for an arm, not that he looks like your franchise quarterback, but if he's as good as you think he can be, and you know, there's some other, like, really explosive, great piece, whether it's, you know, let's say Gregory Rousseau, who opted out from the University of Miami as a defensive end, who's one of the best pass rushers in football, or some, you know, big-time wide receiver who could be available, Devontae Smith, who we were talking about from Alabama. You know, these guys, what if you're Jacksonville and you have the chance to ride with Gardner and take one of those other guys
mm-hmm.
or take one of the quarterbacks? What do you do? That's the dilemma that I think Jacksonville's going to find themselves in
yep.
after this season, because Gardner might prove, and we'll find out tonight, you know, who are you? You're a national stage. Everybody's looking at you, Gardner. Who are you? What can we expect from you as a Jacksonville Jaguars organization? Are you going to step up and make those big plays? He's a fan favorite. People love him. He's got the stash. I mean, he's got a swagger. He's got that you know, that moxie, whatever you want to call it. Is he the guy for the Jags? That's the question that we can't answer until we see the season play out. That's why this Thursday night game is interesting.
I'm really looking forward to this game. Like, I really am. I think it's going to be pretty high scoring. I said earlier, I think it's going to go over. I think it's 47.5, whatever it is. But, you know, pertaining to everything that Tiki just said, there's still some unanswered questions about, you know, the direction of the team moving forward. It wasn't that long ago, really 3 weeks, basically.
Yeah.
Where most people were saying, all right, little tandem. We got a little Dabo and Trevor Lawrence package. See
yep.
you, Marone. See you, Gardner.
Yeah.
This team's going 0-16 or 1-15. Well, look at this. Tonight is a really big game for the Jaguars. If they win tonight, all right,
mm-hmm.
stop me when you hear a good team. This is the rest of their schedule, at least for no, I'm not going to read the whole thing because there's
good
teams eventually, but if they win tonight, you're 2-1.
Yep.
Then you play the Bengals.
Okay, winnable.
Okay. Yep. Then you play the Texans.
Winnable as well.
Then you play Detroit.
That's definitely winnable.
Then you have a bye week.
Okay.
Okay, and then you play the Chargers, whatever, and then I don't need to run through the whole schedule, but that brings you into November. If they win tonight, there is a chance that they will be 4-2 going into the 1st of November off a bye week.
Yeah.
That is not implausible.
It's not. And
then at that point, there's no way they're getting Trevor Lawrence or Fields.
Yeah. And if you start looking at Chenault, LaVisca Chenault, he's a good player. DJ Chark is a good player. This kid who replaced Leonard Fournette, James Robinson. Who nobody knew. I mean, he was a free agent.
Undrafted team.
Illinois State. I never heard of the dude. He's balling. You know what I mean? He's undrafted, you know, free agent in this offseason. Not like, you know, he was somewhere else and, you know, he's back on the street. He's a free agent out of college from Illinois State. James Robinson was balling. You start looking at, like, the Kalyvon Chaisson, who was their first-round pick this year. He's not playing yet, but ultimately he will be. Sherbert, who they brought in from Cleveland, who's a really good linebacker. They're starting to put some pieces.
They are.
On this.
Keelan Cole's fine.
And it's like you know, like you.
Josh Allen on defense.
We questioned what they were doing. Maybe they knew exactly what they were doing.
I hear you. And they got number one picks for Jalen Ramsey.
That's right. It's exactly right.
Okay. Looking forward to it. So, by the way, curious, you know, what do you guys think about Gardner Minshew? Drop us a tweet at Tiki and Tierney. You buying it? You selling him long term? You're not yet sure. Still thoroughly in the evaluation process. Let us know. I'm in. I'm not all in where I'm going to say he's going to get $110 million guaranteed at some point, but I am certainly all in that this guy is beyond viable and will be in the NFL for a decade and will start a lot and might become the franchise quarterback for the Jags. I'd like to see him play well tonight. I think he will. All right, update for Mac. We'll come back, hit you with the blast. Ackerman's update right now. Here's Rich. All right, let's see what the Nuggets have tonight. Let's see what the Denver Nuggets have tonight. Lakers and Denver, 9 Eastern TNT. Give you a couple thoughts on that before we get out of here. But if that mojo could carry over from the Game 3 win for Denver. And, yeah, we'll see. You know, I think everybody's already kind of pushing the Lakers into the finals here, but Denver is not uncomfortable in these precarious situations, as we've seen multiple times. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Excuse me, Radio. Tiki, ready for the Thursday edition of The Blast? See what Santa cooked up?
I am.
See if it's any good?
Yeah, let's hit it.
Let's go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
Everybody's got opinions on Phillip Rivers. Last night, Colts head coach Frank Reich hooked up with Sirius XM NFL Radio. And here's how he sees Rivers the first couple of weeks of the season.
He's playing great. He's playing great football. And what's exciting to me is I really believe it's just going to get better. I just believe our team is only going to get better. 2 weeks in, he's completing 77% of his passes. You know, our yards per attempt are higher than they've been, you know, since we've been here. He's got great command of the offense. He's great leadership on and off the field.
I'm not saying that those things aren't true, but he's got more touchdowns than picks. Mm-hmm. You make it seem as if he's off to a Josh Allen start here.
You mean picks and touchdowns.
Pardon me, but he's got more picks than touchdowns. Yeah. How do we evaluate Rivers right now?
Yeah, I can't say he's playing great. I mean, all those things that he said are true. He is a great leader. He is someone that they can count on to, you know, have command of a huddle, command of the locker room. He's a vet. He's been around for a long time and a borderline Hall of Famer. I mean, save for, you know, lack of postseason success, he's been, you know, one of the most productive quarterbacks over the last, you know, 15, 16 years.
Mm-hmm.
So all that's true, but he's losing games, man. And it's because he's been inconsistent, you know, with critical plays, that is interceptions and touchdowns. So I can't say he's playing great.
No.
It's kind of what I thought he was from the last couple of years. We tried to, like, make him better than he was, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Well, he'll play great this week. He's playing the Jets. This is the week he'll play great because the Jets are morbid. One thing that I think that they did, which was smart, you know, the first week, if you recall, against Jaguars, he threw the ball 46 times, man. That is untenable at this stage of his career. Almost 50 throws from Phillip Rivers? Come on. So this past week against the Dolphins, it was modified to, I think, a situation that will be better for him and ultimately be better for the Colts. And not coincidentally, they won. He only threw it 25 times, and he hit on 19. Both games has been a good completion percentage. But I think that Rivers right now is going to make some throws and some plays through moxie and intellect. Guts, like, wow, all right, there he is, the Cowboy Rivers. And then he's going to make some throws like he does every year where he's scratching your head saying, this is part of the reason why he's never won a Super Bowl or even gotten to one. So you'll see some up and some down. That's what you get with Rivers. I love the competitive spirit, but there's a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL, a lot, that are better than Phillip Rivers right now. All right, the SEC gets going up on Saturday. Alabama ranked number 2 in the country, while Georgia ranked number 4. Do we expect two SEC teams to make the college football playoffs, assuming that we have one? I would have to say we do. Yes, I would have to say that we do. I'd like to see what happens with the Big Ten. You would think that the Buckeyes emerge from there. So that's now there's one spot left. Forget about the Pac-12. Even if the Pac-12 has a season, which I think they will, I don't think that they've got anybody good enough to actually represent as one of the Final Four teams. Notre Dame and Clemson. That's what it comes down to. Listen, anything can happen, but Clemson, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia, and LSU. I'll throw those teams out there. And LSU, more of a dark horse. I'll just throw it out of respect. So,
I'd put Miami ahead of LSU at this point because I agree with you, BT. They just lost too much. And what'd they have? 11? How many first-round picks did they have? I don't think it was quite 11, but it was a lot.
Jefferson went to the Vikings.
Yeah, I mean, they had at least no, I think maybe. It was 11 between Alabama and LSU. They lost a lot. Alabama can reload when they lose all those players. They've been used to it for the last, decade plus. LSU's maybe not so lucky. I'm going to say that's not going to. I think the Big Ten is going to represent themselves well. If there's anything, you might get two ACC schools as opposed to SEC schools. Interesting programming note that I just found out. Georgia at Alabama, which is October 17th. I'll be going down to do for Compass Media. So
nice. You're going to get me that shirt that I asked you to get me a couple of years ago that you didn't bring back?
Yes, because I will be there for an extra day. It is a night game. So a night game in Tuskaloosa. It's unbelievable, man.
Maybe fans by then.
Maybe
some,
BT.
Right?
That's
we'll get some.
Just under a month from now, they might get some fans
awesome.
Down there. And they have the new lights at the stadium. Dude, the place is awesome.
I can't wait to hear about it.
You got to get down for one of these games.
All right. Maybe I'll do the game. Who are you doing the game with? Get rid of him and I'll do the game.
TJ.
TJ. I'll do the game for TJ. Take the day off, TJ.
I think it's TJ. I think TJ's doing
TJ, take the game off. I'll do it for you.
TJ Reeves. He's good dude.
No, I'm just kidding, of course. Have a good time, man. Nice. I want that shirt. The 76ers have reportedly told teams they are open to trade talks if they hire Mike D'Antoni as their head coach to build a team that fits his system. So here's the question. He's almost 70, so they give him a lot of power. If that's interesting. Should the Sixers be looking to make wholesale changes to their roster to hire Mike D'Antoni?
I don't know, man. Because how long is that lasting? It's a couple seasons, maybe? 3 seasons? What's he going to get? 5 seasons, maybe?
If he's 75 lucky. When he's coaching?
No, I don't see that, though. That's my point. So, I mean, maybe it's two or three.
Jack Ramsey?
No, I don't think they should be making wholesale changes. Because think about this. Like, just logically, what Mike D'Antoni wants to do doesn't really support what Joel Embiid does. So if you're the Philadelphia 76ers, are you moving out Joel Embiid? Right? Because it makes more sense to have Ben Simmons, be a big-ish, because he's still going to be a ball handler, but it makes more sense to have him be a big in a Mike D'Antoni system than it does having Joel Embiid being a stretch in a Mike D'Antoni system. You know what I mean? I don't know if I'm down with that.
I'm not down with that, but I've got to get a little separation here. Like, I'm not really down to hire Mike D'Antoni at this point, not for the Sixers, in my opinion, but I am open. I am amenable if I'm ownership. If I hire somebody and they present it to me, I've been around the league. Here's what I see. This is what I would do. And it's a vision that's believable, and if they sell me on it, I would be open to trading Embiid and getting a lot back, or trading Simmons and getting a lot back. I would be open to it, but I wouldn't like restructure and obliterate the thing for Mike D'Antoni. I don't know. You want to tell me Popovich wants to come, but he's going to commit for 4 or 5 years, and he's ready to roll and roll up his sleeves for a new challenge? All right, Pop, do whatever you want. Here's the roster. What do you see? What do we got to do? I can't let Mike D'Antoni do that at this point. I don't want anything. No. Speaking of Philly, the Phillies are one game behind the Reds for the final playoffs. But I remember they got swept in a doubleheader a couple of nights ago, but they're still hanging around. 3 games to go. If they missed the playoffs, would Joe Girardi's first season be considered a failure? I wouldn't classify it as a failure. I would classify it as a bit of a disappointment. Yeah, I think that that's fair. I also think if you give Joe the ample time, I think Joe's going to eventually win and deliver a lot more than he does not. It's a quirky season. I think every sort of assessment needs to be positioned through the unique lens of a COVID 60-game set. And you're also, by the way, you're playing good teams. You know, you're not playing, you know, you're playing the Yankees. You know, your NL East is stacked. The Marlins have come. You got to face DeGrom a few times. Braves are very good. You know, the Nationals, yeah, the defending champions. You got to play Toronto based on the East versus East. It's not really fair. So, no, I would not say it's a failure.
No, I wouldn't either, BT. It's because of how the schedule. There is no balance to this schedule. They're a game under 500, as you said. Yeah, but in Atlanta, you didn't even mention Atlanta. You
know, no, I did. I said the Braves.
Oh, you did. I missed it. So, but Atlanta's, I mean, they're just Atlanta, right?
Yep.
So, yeah, I'm not going to say it's a disappointment. And you, the biggest thing that you pointed out is the East. I mean, the Yankees had that stretch where they were, like, horrific.
They lost 10 out of 15.
Yeah, but
actually 15 out of 20. Pardon me.
But they're really good.
Yes.
And once they get like hot and their bats are lighting things up,
mm-hmm,
they're not easy.
No.
The Toronto Blue Jays, nobody expected them to be where they are. The Rays are one of the best managed teams in baseball. It was unfair for them. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You know, relative to the rest of the National League. So, you know, I can't say it was a disappointment.
Well, think about it like this before I get buzzed here. Like, if you're, let's say that, you know, the Cubs get it. I mean, the Cubs have had to play the Royals, the Tigers, the Pirates. You just get some easier, leaner teams there. So it's circumstantial a little bit. All right, Teek. The Lightning took a 2-1 series lead last night in the Cup, thanks to the pair of the captain, Steven Stamkos, played his first game since back in February, scored on his first shot. It was a wicked shot. Obviously, Jen's into this. My wife is from Dallas, so she's into it. Not for the Lightning goal, but for the series. He wants the Stars to win. How much lift can a team get from just seeing a star player back in the lineup? Good question.
Yeah, no, I think it's a big deal. I think especially because...
But even if he doesn't produce, I think that's what Mike's inferring. Like, just a guy just coming back that is a great player, even if he doesn't put anything tangible on the board,
yeah,
can that really galvanize a whole team?
Yeah, well, it depends on how long he's been the leader there. I mean, if it's a long-established, like, iconic-type player to the organization, of course it gives you a lift because you know that it means something to him. It's one of the, you know, great faults of the Rangers for Lundqvist. They never could rise to the occasion for him. Now, some of it was his own failings, but still... but I think, yeah, having a guy come back like that, it means something. We've seen it over the years in many different ways.
Sure. I mean, Willis Reed is probably the best example. Willis Reed did this a gazillion years ago. Of course, I wasn't born to see it, but he limped on the court. He knocked down his first two jump shots. The Knicks won the championship.
Yep,
didn't play, didn't score a bucket the rest of the game. Their best player had 4 points. They won a pivotal game. So, yeah, especially if it's a home game. I know that this doesn't apply to the Lightning, no fans in the bubble up in Canada. But, you know, that first emergence from the tunnel or into the batter's box or out of the bullpen, whatever it might be. Oh, yeah. You feel that for sure. You feel it. Good stuff. Good show today, Teek. We're back on TV tomorrow. Sharp Tierney. He's got another prop of another winning week. I've got the over tonight. And hopefully Minshew plays well. We'll see if the Dolphins can get their first win. Teek,
yep, that's all
night,
you can
buddy.
Do. That's all you can do is the over. Because I have no idea.
We'll see. Safe, sensible, sane football Friday tomorrow. Have a great Thursday. We'll see you. Peace.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.